Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and knowledgeable boys. Thank you for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo.
Hey, Tommy, I'm Ben Vanell. It's good to be here again this week talking video games with my good buddies. And over here we also have...
Thanks, Ben. I've put my finger up to my ear as though I were a reporter, but realizing...
Or you were doing that thing that singers do to really hear the key properly?
No, there's a slug in here. I don't know how it got in there, but it's making a lot of squishing noises and it's very distracting. By the way, my name is Adam.
Great. Wonderful introduction to any new listeners.
Really couldn't have encapsulated himself better than that.
Exactly.
I saw a slug last night.
Mate, what the fuck you on?
I feel like I haven't seen a slug in a good long time.
Yeah, I'm racking my brain. I can't remember the last time I saw a slug.
And do you know what else?
Mm-hmm.
Caterpillars.
Yeah.
I fucking saw heaps of them in primary school.
Yeah.
And I feel like
what
ever since primary school, is this like a universal thing? I feel like caterpillars, very common, and ladybirds as well in primary school. Ever since then.
You know what it is?
Global warming.
You spent more time outside during primary school.
Yeah.
Oh, it's definitely that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of you in primary school, we've got to bring this up because I want to wedge in a plug here for the comedy room that Ben and I run, Catfish Comedy, Tuesday nights in Melbourne.
Yep.
Get down if you're
somewhere in Melbourne.
Yeah. Tuesday nights, Gertrude Street at the Catfish Bar.
Yes. Just ask anyone on the street and they'll point you in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. You hosted last night, Knox.
Yeah.
You did a wonderful job.
Yes, and hosted with aplomb.
Yes.
Oh, thanks.
Yes.
That word that only gets used in very formal congratulatory settings.
Yes.
Now
you did an admirable job.
You told a story on stage, and as soon as you told it, Ben messaged me from the other side of the room and went, "This is another one for the dossier."
What was it?
Because we have this ongoing fascination with things that you'll just like kind of casually reveal in conversation that to anyone else would be a linchpin story of their life. But to you just seem to be these passing kind of trivial little ditties.
Yeah.
This story about you going overseas with your family and then coming back to school.
Yeah.
And what did you do?
Look, I didn't feel like this wasn't primary school, by the way. You've mentioned primary school. This
I was just taking any segue I could get my hands on.
Look, I thought...
How is it easier for you to tell a room full of people than it is to tell you,
there
me
was
and
no
Tommy?
You've already heard it.
I wasn't speaking. I was speaking into a microphone.
Yes.
But it was only connected to speakers and then it disappears into the ether because people don't remember what they hear in passing, I thought.
I was live streaming that gig on Facebook. Yeah. So already more people have heard it than will hear it on this.
Kids are dumb. I was like 13.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And
I actually have a follow-up story that might be more embarrassing.
Okay, great.
I just like someone, because it was like people had started having sex and stuff and people were like, you're lame if you're a virgin, mm-hmm. which is a gross aspect of our patriarchal society.
Totally.
That we, and I fell victim to it and pretended that I'd had sex with triplets in New Zealand.
Oh, I think it's gotten funnier.
Now, as you put it on stage, something about it being triplets made you think that was more believable?
Because if you...
Because I agree with you.
It's so ridiculous.
Because exactly, it's the specific thing. It's like anyone can invent that they just had sex with one person. And anyone can pretend that they've had sex with three people.
Right.
But having sex with three people that are all immediately related and on the same level of the family tree.
Yeah. You can't make that shit up. You certainly shouldn't.
Yeah.
And did you elaborate at all? Was the story that it had been some kind of like some wild foursome?
It's probably, but weirdly enough, I've not really thought about it. You might even say I've tried to repress the memory
okay.
to some extent.
Interesting.
Because I went to like a bunch of different primary schools and developed a habit when I was a kid of lying about myself to try and make friends quicker.
By the way, I understand why you feel so nervous about this being out in the ether, but the reality is, and I mean this, this is extremely common. So you don't have to feel like you're some kind of
triplets.
I just when I went to America last month, I did it over there.
Seriously?
Man, that's so cool.
Thanks, guys.
I'd love to be your friend now.
I'm not going to bully you ever.
These guys on my new podcast are really respecting me now that I've whipped this out. No, but seriously, you don't have to feel like you're like a bad person or whatever for doing that. Everyone's lied about stuff when they're a kid.
No, I know. And me not wanting to bring it up is in some way me as an adult trying to lie about who I was as a child.
Yes.
Sure.
Which is feeding into the same thing. So if anything, who cares?
Now, what's your worst one? Because I'd love to say that I've got one, but I am without sin. So I'm going to sit over here and cast stones till the cows come home.
You had enough shit going on when you were a kid.
You're right, Tommy. That's a relatively common thing to do, to pretend that you had sex with someone you didn't.
I love this intro.
What I did, I think I was about 11 or 12. Mm. I told all of my friends at school that I was getting a monkey for Christmas.
Was this a post Ross Geller on Friends having a monkey era?
Oh, that was maybe my exact first thought as well.
Yeah,
that's creepy.
It's the most famous, that and Michael Jackson, the most famous monkeys of the 90s.
I guess so.
I reckon I was too young to be tapped into the Friends situation. but there was a movie.
Sounds like it if you tell them all you're getting a monkey for Christmas.
I be any more of a cool kid?
When was this that you would tell, like, sort of like,
so
lead
I was
up
11
Christmas?
Or 12, so. Okay.
You're scaling down, I reckon. Don't
no,
you think?
No,
he's scaling down because he's embarrassed. I reckon you were really like 16, 17, like way, like old enough that it's even more embarrassing.
No, I was in primary school. I know that for a fact.
At that age as well, you kind of want to pretend like you don't get Christmas presents because who cares about shit?
Yeah. What 16-year-old's bragging to their mates, I'm getting a monkey. Boys, come over, see the monkey. But I'd seen a movie called like Monkey Tricks or something, and there was a kid with a monkey pet.
Oh, I remember
like,
Monkey Trouble?
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
So that's how young I was and how stupid I was to think, hey.
Monkey Trouble, released in 2009.
to think that it was believable and cool, but yeah, that happened as well.
And do you remember what the response was? Was it worth?
I think it was overwhelmingly positive from memory.
Would you have felt, though, like I would have spent that whole summer freaking out and hoping everyone forgot about the monkey I promised them?
I think that I forgot and the people who barely listened to me.
You had to pretend your monkey died.
You had to kill off the monkey.
Yeah, it got...
Monkey AIDS.
It died in a cage.
Yeah.
In the cargo section of a plane. Sorry, everyone.
On my trip to meet my dad who owns Nintendo.
Yeah, wow, yeah, exactly.
You guys are fucking losers, man. So we're on Patreon. Thank you to everyone who has chipped in already.
Yeah,
very wonderful to see the numbers rolling in and continuing as we speak. Hopefully.
I assume
who knows,
so.
Maybe someone did one in the last 10 minutes.
I genuinely think that more people might have unsubscribed.
But yeah, thank you for chipping in. We have some great rewards going, including a cool little private Facebook group that everyone has been very chill in.
Yeah.
And we're going to start doing bonus episodes where we focus just on one game at a time from the retro sphere.
Yes.
So yeah, you can find all that information, filthycasuals.com.au.
Yeah.
And once we reach our target, we are going to start making some video content.
Yeah, I also just updated the website, so it's a bit more easy to find new episodes and old episodes and all the other shit we do. So go and have a look. It's real nice.
So fan art requests, Ben with a monkey and Adam surrounded by three
Don't
women who
that.
Look identical.
Don't draw that. Don't draw that.
Three New Zealand triplets. Draw them however you wish.
Give me three monkeys. Three monkeys. That's all I want.
God, New Zealand accent though. Real good. Real nice.
You reckon?
Triplets? Not as good.
You mean triplets.
Three at once.
Yeah.
So what have we got to talk about this week? Destiny 2 has come out.
Yeah.
So we'll be talking about that a little bit later.
Yep.
We also have some news to get into.
Mm-hmm.
Nox, do you want to kick us off?
Yeah, there wasn't really much real good news stuff this
week.
Glad
I threw
all
you.
Sad. Yeah. But there were like,
oh, you know what? What's happened? I saw it's being referred to now as the North Korea missile crisis.
Yeah,
which is real scary.
Yes,
because remember then when the Cuban one was happening,
that all blew over.
Well, it did, but it very clearly could have blown the world up.
Yes.
Well, cool. Mario's not a plumber. anymore.
Right, so now we've got to the sad news.
Yes. So, yeah.
Crisis.
So this story is one of the more retweeted things I've seen in my news feed in recent weeks.
Yeah. Right.
Like, so what happened? So someone at Nintendo, they just like updated the bio of Mario on the official website, and then it felt like nearly every like website or blog felt the need to write up a big story like pedestrian and junky and complex and like every like disposable kind of millennial news source was like just rubbing their little mitts going, oh, the youth are going to fucking love this.
Yeah. A lot of them tried to find a photo of Mario looking sad as though he'd been fired from being a plumber as well.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So it's bizarre because it seems...
Well, here it is on E! News, the entertainment, hell. You know,
great.
E! The old,
I mean, this,
defunct
that falls,
TMZ.
That falls within their jurisdiction.
I guess so. It is entertainment.
He's an entertainment figure, also fictional. Mm-hmm. They're not reporting on, like, Shrek's, you know, what would happen to Shrek? Kidney stones?
Erectile dysfunction.
Yeah. some sad old man disease. Yeah, but oh.
Shrek went to Far, Far Away Land and had a threesome with the three little pigs.
Hey, I believe it.
Nice.
Yeah, so Nintendo, he's not a plumber since...
They've retconned his personal history. They've retconned it.
Let me just point out, Knox is reading this off a website and goes, oh, well, I've got the website here. And then you just said the story again. Well, what new information are you getting off E! News?
Yeah, well, I've forgotten. I've gone to a different one. It came up with an ad.
Okay.
They did fix a broken pipe in Super Mario 3D World.
Oh, that's
came
right.
Out in 2013.
Yeah.
So he's probably still a plumber then.
Yeah, but,
but he's not not working. He's not. That's not it, where he's earning his crust.
I can clear out a blocked toilet. I'm not a plumber. I can also. I can also block a toilet.
I fuck good. I'm not a porn star. but yeah, this reeks to me as something where I don't think anyone like. It's just clearly some intern has just like been given a little. You know, just gone. You know, just. You just put what you want on there. And they've just gone, oh, this would be funny to write. It's not like Nintendo have thought this is going to, you know, they've wanted this to be this huge story. And then all of a sudden, like, it's felt like every shit blog picked up on it as like this huge story.
It's just, it's what has happened. He plays tennis. He drives cars. He's not a plumber anymore.
Mario was
used to it. It's 2017.
Do you think this is a red herring where one of the worlds in Mario Odyssey is going to be exclusively plumbing-based tasks?
Yeah,
maybe. He was a carpenter before being a plumber. In Donkey Kong, he was a carpenter, I'm pretty sure, or like a builder.
Right.
Yeah.
He was a builder rather than a plumber.
Because he's jumping around girders and he's just called Jumpman.
And I think he had like hammers on his belt and shit when
Yeah, I think you're right.
Him.
Right. Yeah.
And so then he became a plumber. And yeah, it's everyone changes career 50 times these days because that's just the job.
But what's
market.
He doing? Yeah. Like, what's he doing for an income at this point? Like, it's all well and good to go. He's not a plumber anymore. But like, what is that like?
He gets on real well with the ruler of the Mushroom Kingdom. I'm sure he's fine.
Yeah, he's a hero.
Yeah.
Yeah, but is he getting paid for doing this?
I'm sure he's on like a government retainer.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
Like Captain America. Like Captain America doesn't have a job.
Yeah.
Right.
What does Waluigi do? That's what I want to know. Crime, right?
Well, Wario's like a treasured stealing little fuck.
Yeah.
I think Waluigi's kind of in with him.
Yeah.
And what Luigi's just kind of, is Luigi still a plumber? Maybe that's it. Mate, Luigi's got to keep the family business going.
I think Mario would leave an envelope with money in it on Luigi's pillow, and neither of them would have talked about it.
Oh, yeah.
And they just sort of have an understanding that Luigi needs it.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like in the Mafia where, like, one of the shitty brothers, he just, you know, he gets some of the family money.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they don't bring it up because it would be too much of an emotional discussion for them because Luigi would be like, I tried to be a vacuum cleaner guy for a while, but I got too scared.
Yeah, exactly.
I do love that. There's two Luigi's Mansion games, and now because he has a little vacuum cleaner in that, like in the Mario Rabbids game, all of Luigi's weapons a vacuum cleaner thing. So it's like, yeah, that thing you did twice. You love it. You fucking have another vacuum cleaner, you fucking neat freak.
It's like he's just started working at an office and like the first of note that he did, well, that's your personality.
Exactly, yeah. It's a very real world
Johnny
kind
brought
of...
in a chocolate chip muffin. All right, Chucky boy.
Chocolate.
Let's call him Chip from now on.
Here he is, the muffin man.
On your way, Mr. Cadbury, sir.
What are you crying about, you cunt?
This was in school, but this wasn't in an office, but I might have told this before. I got called Garfield for quite a long time.
Yes.
I don't think I know.
I knew this, but I don't know if you've said it on the show.
How could you have held this back? All the work we're doing on the dossier and you're sitting on this?
I know, I'm sorry. I've slipped up. I made a big mistake.
You know how the Dollop put a book out of like all their like weird American history facts?
Yeah, yeah.
It's my dream that one day we release a hard copy coffee table book about Knox.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't want that. I complained about it Monday once and I was Garfield praised. And everyone does hate Mondays.
Exactly.
It's why Garfield was so relatable and successful. And you think saying that would make him call you Garfield less, but no. Nope. Having a grumpy attitude.
Oh my God. You
refuse to eat lasagna in front of people.
Yeah.
I fucking hated this kid at school called Odie. I really didn't like that guy.
Oh man, that's great.
But yeah, so Mario ain't a plumber no more.
No. I'm waiting for them to issue a follow-up statement where they're like, just kidding.
Oh yeah.
Or the person who broke the story translated it from the Japanese and got it wrong.
Yeah.
They got in that fucking idiot from the Switch live stream at the start of the year.
There's also, this was kind of interesting this week. This isn't really news, but there was like this...
I found $2 on the ground.
It was a big Twitter thread started by a woman named Jennifer. I'm going to have a go. Cheryl? Weird middle name. Cheryl, something like that. She's the game design lead at Opaque Space, who are currently working on a game called Earthlight, which is a VR thing that's in collaboration with NASA.
Okay.
Which is kind of cool. Anyway, she's a game designer.
And great work on making her viral ad campaign succeed there. Ooh. By plugging her game on this show.
Okay, her name was Anonymous Jean.
Anonymous Jean.
Anyway, she just said something of like, what are the little game design things from your games that people might not know about?
Yeah.
And there was this huge response from all these actual game developers saying all these things that you don't really notice in a game, but are in there.
But by design.
Yeah, it's real interesting stuff, like the mentality behind, and this is, I guess, a lot of the stuff, when you talk about what a game feels like, this is a lot of what creates that stuff, I guess.
Yeah.
So like, for example, there's a few of them here. In System Shock and other shooters, the last bullet you have has multiplied damage. So you know when you like you're running low and you're firing in your entire clip at someone and you just kill it?
Yep.
That's that feeling.
Yep.
That's where that comes from.
Yep.
Assassin's Creed and Doom have more health associated with the last tick of the health bar to make you feel like you barely survived.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like that one. That's a good one.
It's all this sort of stuff. Many platformers have a window where even if you fall off a ledge, you can still jump.
Yes. Yeah.
So like little things.
Because obviously the player would be panicking and hitting the jump button and then sometimes it works.
And a lot of the time when you put really fair, equal, even rules into a game, it makes people feel like the game is better than it should be.
It's a hard balance to strike though because as soon as people notice that stuff, they go, oh, it holds your hand and it's too easy.
Totally.
But then if it's not there, it's like, well, this is just unfair and really crushing. Yeah. So it is, it's one of those things in games that, if it's doing, it's almost a bit of a depressing thing to work on because the better it is at its job, the less likely it is to be. If it succeeded, you don't even know that it's there.
Yeah.
So you don't get the credit and you don't get people going, oh, this is great that this is here.
Yeah. But I feel like it's probably because none of this stuff has ever been made public before. Because it's like with movies, with cinematic techniques, you study it, you write about it, you learn it. Even the layman can like talk about, you know, film techniques. Because they've been taught about them before.
Them fucking buildings were real fucking big in that movie. I don't know what movies watch where big buildings are the thing you take
Super
away
Mario
from
Brothers.
Yeah, I guess so.
But I think that, you can talk about this stuff now because you have been given these examples.
But these are hidden technical things where you know, it's not like, you can study narrative and stuff in film. Like, you'd like that specific trick of Assassin's Creed or whatever it is, the health bar thing, that's someone in the design room probably playtesting it and going, ah, oh, this feels, it's a lot more tinkering. So there's not these like clear cut, like it's all kind of back end stuff.
Yeah, I think that still applies to something like film because it's like, well, camera techniques, I don't necessarily know exactly what's going on.
Yeah.
But something has happened to make me feel a certain way.
Well, and there's some more like aesthetic kind of ones that I think apply to that a lot as well. Like Half-Life 2 has ledges and railings that are set as ragdoll magnets so that enemies will fall over them more often.
Right.
So like you kill an enemy and the programming will encourage them to move towards a railing so that they'll flip over it and fall off.
And that looks cool and makes you feel like more. Yeah, okay.
And in Fear, do you remember Fear?
Yeah.
It had like the bullet time thing. It bends bullets like subtly towards things that will explode.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So it looks like you're fucking, you know, causing all these explosions. Yeah. Right, you weren't even aiming at it.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah, I've often thought that about games, like the how much tweaking and playtesting there is of, like going through an area and going, you know, it works, but it doesn't quite have that feel of, you know, like a GTA area or something where they then have to go, oh, but if we put this here and then that's in the mission, like how much kind of trial and error there is to get something having that feeling. And also, I guess that's the hard thing is that you don't always know that when you're making something that the player is definitely going to trigger those events that, you know, that what you're going for. Like you know, they're in charge of doing it and they might not end up getting the best result out of your product that you've kind of...
Totally. I think that's why people respond to games like Dark Souls in the way that they do, because that is designed to be even and fair and with none of these things really in it as far as I know.
Right, right.
So like...
Well,
Well, this one is a good example. I feel like Guitar Hero, it rates you out of 5 stars, but apparently won't give you lower than a 3.
Right.
Like a bloody video game reviewer, right?
Oh, yeah.
But like that idea of like the whole game is built around any less than 3 and you won't feel like a rock star.
Right.
Yeah, so okay.
You need to feel like a rock star at all times.
Right.
It's interesting to see that things do actually, because people do go, this shit is not hard.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's, you know, not engaging to me because...
Yeah.
And a lot of games are built that way.
Yeah.
Which I guess is, you know, to go back to like Skyward Sword, which, you know, many, many people have, you know, huge complaints about the ease of it and the hand-holding. That's where it goes too far, where I think potentially, fuck, it's hard to see how they could have thought that, but they thought that they were doing it in a way where it was like kind of giving you a bit, oh, no, this will be fun for people because they'll... But it just, if you push it too hard, then everyone's aware that it's easy and that it's telling you what to do and there's no challenge and there's no sense of discovering something for yourself.
If you overdo shit, then like some people don't like Wes Anderson movies because every single shot is so like someone in the middle.
Meticulous. And, you know,
and it can become sort of annoying and overbearing and tiring.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily think that, but I see that complaint a lot.
Yeah.
And I guess something like...
But that's a stylistic choice and you like his style or you don't.
Exactly. Right.
And right. I love his style.
Yeah,
so
me too.
I'm aware that he's doing it. And even in that, sometimes it's like, ah, oh, come on. But it's like, well, you know, that's what I'm buying into. And
sure.
If I have to feel that way, maybe once in a film to get all the rest of it that I really like, well then who
and
cares?
And so this is an example that I definitely noticed. Elizabeth in Bioshock Infinite throws resources to the player based on the player's current state.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. If you're low on health, she will give you health and shit. And I did find that to be like... This game's holding my hand through it.
Okay. Yeah. I think I played it on hard the first time I played it and I needed it.
Yeah.
And I loved the world and the narrative and I was just like, give me stuff so I can keep moving through the story.
Yeah.
Totally. And it's, that is basically the equivalent of a stylistic choice.
A big one I've been wondering about lately as I'm playing Mario and Rabbids on the Switch, which on the Bare Naked Ladies scale of whether we're still keeping up with something, the light's very much still on for that.
Yeah.
Where there's an element of, you know, your weapon has a range of how much damage that'll do that is like, say, between 100 health points and 130 health points.
Right.
Or there's like an 80% chance that you'll trigger this super effect that's like 160 health points.
Yeah, sure.
And so, you know, wondering, and also when enemies are behind, like if they're blocked, that it'll tell you you've got a 50% chance of hitting them. So you take the shot and sometimes you don't always know if you're going to hit them.
Yep.
And yeah, that's one I've been wondering of like, how random really is there? Is there a thing in the programming that's just throwing a dice and going, ah, well, or, you know, because sometimes I go, oh, if I trigger the super effect on this, I'm gonna I'm going to win it, like, or if I don't quite knock out the enemy, then they get their turn and I
fucked.
Might then be fucked.
Yeah.
And just, it's like, I have been wondering, is there something in the game that goes, I'll give him this one, or you know what I mean?
Like, well,
or
it sounds like probably there is. Yeah.
No, but it kind of is all over the place.
Okay,
like, it
yeah,
doesn't
right.
always happen. Like,
yeah, right.
So it's kind of half and half, but it's like, is it based on what your performance has been like leading up to that? Like, how
sure, yeah.
how random really is this?
How frustrated is the gamer likely to be at this point if they lose? Like, is it so frustrated
yeah.
that they might
because
not keep playing?
Because the thing
playing?
Is, like, if every time I was on the final shot and I always triggered that thing, I would have noticed it by now and
right.
gone, oh, well, this isn't fun, because you get to that point and then you're definitely going to
well,
end
so
up winning
the,
it.
I was reading a thing about XCOM comparing it to Rabbids
mm-hmm.
and that... A thing with XCOM is that people seem to think that the game does the opposite thing, where the chance of you actually hitting something is lower than it says it is,
right.
is the perception that people have.
Right.
But the fact is that it isn't. But if you see a 95% chance of hitting someone, your brain every time will think, well, 95% is basically assured.
Yeah.
Right. I'm definitely going to get that. But 1 in 20 times, you won't.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah.
And so if you take 20 shots, every single time you see that 95%, you don't factor in the other 19.
Yeah.
So your
yeah.
perception of it is, bullshit, there's no way I missed a 95% chance.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
But 1 in 20 times, you're going to. So leaving it as literally what it is
yeah.
gives people the perception that they're actually treating you more harshly than they are.
Right.
I remember reading
so
an article.
So things do stack it the other way.
That makes sense.
I remember
yeah.
reading an article years and years and years ago when the iPod kind of first came to popularity, and there was a thing where when you would have it on shuffle, people were going, it does this thing all the time where it'll play two songs in a row from the same band,
right.
and like, why does that happen so frequently? And I'd certainly noticed it, and then I saw this article about it. I'm like, oh, that's, yeah, I have noticed that.
Mm.
And it basically was saying that it's not... It's more that your brain can recognize two things that are similar, but
yeah.
it doesn't account. It doesn't give it credit for. Oh no! But then those two are so yeah. wildly far
sure,
apart.
Sure,
the fact that it only notices the similarities.
It only recognizes patterns,
yeah.
not lack of patterns.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
yeah.
But yeah, that is really all that.
That's
stuff.
All I ever notice is lack of patterns.
Really,
I only see plain colors. if someone wears tartan, they are invisible to me.
Wow.
Yeah. Except for their face, which I suppose is one consistent
yeah.
shape. So I can see floating faces. Scottish people fucking terrifying.
Mm-hmm. Great. But yeah, a really interesting thread on that person's Twitter.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's fucking annoying to sort through long Twitter threads.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because it just doesn't sort things in a
you
really
just kinda have to wait
accessible
through
way.
All of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's worth going and having a look at, because there's some really cool stuff in there. And a lot of it's little stuff, but especially if you're someone who's interested in game design or are one yourself.
Yep.
There's
you
lots
are
of
one game design.
Yeah, you're a game designer.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you're a sentient game
design.
Log on.
If Skynet's
yeah.
listening, which it is, there's a bunch of enemies in Arkham Asylum never turn 180 degrees so that you'll never be caught if you're sneaking up behind them.
Great.
Because that would piss you off if someone just turned around, you'd be like, oh, fuck that.
I'm Batman. I'm not supposed to get caught by some,
Maybe that is why Batman is such a good detective, because in the world he lives in, everyone else is a fucking dope. They're just like, well, better turn one step to the left.
It's actually, he's like, just by any real world intelligence, he's just normal.
Yeah.
It's just, he lives in this dumbass world.
Yeah, he's lucky that he lives in a world where this group of SWAT soldiers all announce the move they're about to make. I'm going to go search over here. I can't find the bat.
Off I go to the west of the map.
What was that? Better go check it out.
I guess it's nothing. I'm a god, but my heart's not in this.
We've played Batman games.
I have not.
Oh, you did pretty good then.
Thank you. Speaking of stuff in games that is easy to take for granted, cool. I, over the weekend, went to the Zelda Symphony of the Goddesses.
Oh, yeah.
At Melbourne's illustrious Hamer Hall.
Mm-hmm.
I went with my dad because I wanted to go, and I figured he might be interested in going because he likes classical music and stuff. And I thought it would be interesting to get the opinion of someone who doesn't have any connection to the series or any games whatsoever.
Yeah.
And just
it's
see.
It's a shame that you don't know anybody else who's interested in video games.
Would you have gone? Would you have spent the money on a ticket?
Oh, absolutely not.
Yeah, there we go. I went with him, and I was kind of a bit in my head every time I've seen those things advertised, a bit skeptical about the entertainment value in just sitting and watching bits of music from video games.
That's what I've been lied to and why I wouldn't have bought a ticket. And I even think, from what I have seen of these things, the perception I get is that I would feel a little, not embarrassed to be there, but I would just find the... there's a level, a type of humor woven through most humor woven
oh,
through most.
Oh yeah,
of
that's right.
That
so we were talking last week about how I was going to go.
Yeah,
and you made a prediction of something that was going to happen. Now, do you care to repeat that prediction? Now?
Just something along the lines of the conductor would come out and pick up his fucking wand or whatever they call it, and I'm sure it's not a wand, baton. And they play like the da-da-da-da and just like little and everyone will, and then everyone in the crowd will go like, from Zelda.
Yeah, okay, that literally didn't happen once. Okay, nothing good. Like that happened.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying, but it was really, yeah, it like, I thought it was going to be good, hence why I went, but it was way better than I was expecting. So right. It opened with, so for the most part, it was these maybe like 10-minute arrangements where they would focus just on one game at a time and kind of weave all the big themes from the game into one medley. And then on the screen, they had a big screen where they were playing clips from the game and sort of jumping around and contextualizing sort of what part of the game it's from. So you always had something to watch.
Yep.
Visually very interesting. And so, yeah, like my dad came and sat down and said, "So what is this?" And then I had to very quickly try and explain not just these games in particular, but also just what games are.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it's a series. It's been going for 30 years. There's these kind of five elements that are sort of the same across all of them, but then everything else is just kind of different every time. So they don't really relate to each other. And so, yeah, they're all kind of set on a different timeline and all this kind of stuff. And then he goes, right. And so all these people who are dressed like this, is this part of it? And there's a guy next to us dressed as Tingle who looked very upset at being called out by a 70-year-old man. This is meant to be a safe space for him, and he's getting fucking roasted up in his nosebleed seat. But, yeah, so yeah. What?
No, okay, no, continue.
What?
Don't dress like Tingle at Hamer Hall.
At a Zelda concert.
At a Zelda concert.
Of, yeah. Hey, you know
I don't
what?
Know about you, but I respect...
Have never been to the opera.
Yes, I have. I went to the opera once and I felt looked down upon and I've never been back.
Yeah, they were going, why is this idiot dressed like that? They're wearing tuxedos. He's wearing a business shirt and Kmart shoes.
You don't know what I was wearing.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, it was that probably. Because
yeah.
My ex's dad plays in this orchestra.
Does he really?
Yeah, wow. He's the cellist, I believe.
Wow. Well, you could have tried to get us free tickets, but anyway.
I don't really talk to him anymore.
Why not?
But yeah, I'm fine with people cosplaying, but of all the characters to pick from the Zelda universe,
yeah.
Tingle?
I'm kidding as well.
The like, most maligned, possibly the most maligned character in the franchise?
He is the only Tingle? One to have had his own game other than Zelda, spin-off. I guess,
yeah.
Technically.
Yeah, but, surely dress in the green little hooded outfit of the hero Zelda.
Mm. Very good. So yeah, so basically, they started off with a kind of a big medley that kind of went across the whole series.
An overture,
yes. And then for the rest of it, it was, yeah, these little kind of compilations of all the games.
Yeah.
Some of them got a couple of look-ins, including they played the original E3 announcement trailer of Breath of the Wild and did the music to that live, which was, I thought, a really cool touch.
Yeah, that sounds great.
That music was only ever in that trailer too, that specific like version of it.
Yeah, yeah. So I thought that was a really, really great touch. And yeah, I mean, more than anything else, like I've definitely, the three that really resonated with me were Breath of the Wild, Ocarina of Time, and The Wind Waker were the ones where I've played them recently enough or were iconic enough to me that the music started up and I was like, oh, you got real fired up.
Yeah.
Everything else I've either not played or not played for ages or only played a little bit of, so didn't have that same resonance, but still like just undeniably very great music. Mm. And that's kind of, you know, what I was saying before was I think music design in a game is very, again, if it's doing its job very well, you kind of don't notice that it's there because it's underscoring everything else. And a lot of the other stuff that you're liking about it, you're liking because of the work that the sound design is doing to kind of emphasize that. So it was also interspersed with, they had these like little mini interviews with Oh, God, how do you say his name? The producer, Aonuma?
Oh, Anuma, I think.
Anuma, yeah. Him.
Eiji Anuma, I believe, yeah, is how you say it.
Him, Miyamoto, and Koji Kondo, which kind of gave it a bit of like an air of sort of legitimacy, kind of having these guys kind of spliced in.
Yeah.
Including Miyamoto at the very end going, oh, now like, you know, like Link himself, we've come to the end of our journey and boy, it's been great, hasn't it? I've loved listening to all this. Sort of trying to pretend that he's just like out the back on a video link.
That's classic Miyamoto though. Yeah, he loves those kind of shenanigans.
That was the closest it got to being funny. Anyway, let's hear it. Like, very stupid. Something that was clearly recorded about 5 years ago. But yeah.
There's a newspaper behind him that says.
Yeah, it's actually a proof of life tape from when that time he was kidnapped. But yeah, it was really cool. And it was cool being there with my dad. My dad kind of enjoyed hearing about it all. Also, like, him going, like, in the break, he goes, so what do you do in the games? I'm like, well, you're Link. And he's like, yeah, but what do you do as Link? I'm like, you control him. He's like, yeah, but how do you tell him what to do? And I'm like, fuck, this old cunt does not get it. Like, all the stuff that you see him doing on that screen that they've been playing, that's the player. The player is doing all of that. Mm. And he's like, oh, right. Very interesting experience. You realize, like, how much when you describe a game, you're still relying on the context of people at least knowing how it functions as a form.
Yep.
That's a big thing with, like, people, why, like, the Wii was such a big thing.
Yes,
like,
yes.
That idea of not really, seeing anymore what a barrier of entry, like a big complicated controller, can be.
Totally. You swing your hand and it moves that thing.
Yeah.
That's as simple as it can be.
I've really got to play Majora's Mask because the big section of that with the gameplay in it was, I've never seen that much of the game, like,
because
it was all this stuff from in game and the bit where you dress up like a little, what are the little Deku, he's got that weird fucked up mask on and I gotta fucking play this game.
Majora's Mask is great.
Yeah, that was the one of all of them. Twilight Princess, I still feel like, no, I don't think I really need to bother with this. But yeah, and they did like Link's Awakening at the end, which was cool. Like, they did Link to the Past and Link's Awakening, so it was cool to see those tracks like with like kind of upgraded to a full orchestra.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have minded a bit more Breath of the Wild in there, but yeah, it was great. They did the Goron City theme at the end. So yeah, I think it's still got a couple of cities to go. So if you have an opportunity, I really recommend it.
Like, I think it's international too. I think
it goes all over the place. Yeah. But more than anything, like, beyond just the music, just a great like kind of celebration of this great series that has been going for a long time and has had so many different elements to it. Like, it was just kind of cool watching like a 2-hour history of the Zelda series played out in
without some weird British guy talking over the top of it.
Yes.
Cutting to a video of himself sitting in his bedroom occasionally.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
How we watch, like, when you watch a history of video games YouTube clip.
Oh, okay, right.
Yeah. Our YouTube channel launching soon.
Yeah, shout out to that. Shout out to my dad. Happy Father's Day. Good on him.
Yeah, to love all you, our dads.
I call your dad bro.
So on to games for the week. Yeah,
I guess so. Sure, that's the direction we want to go in.
Yeah,
There's like the big release that is today, as of our recording. So we haven't really had a huge amount of time to go into it. Is Destiny 2?
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
It is the sort of game where you need to spend a long time with it to really have a firm.
Yeah, and it wasn't the last one. They kept keep adding stuff to it, and it's like a kind of a work in progress. So
definitely. So this is just like early impressions of that.
And it's only you of us who have played it.
Mm. Yes. Well, so I've been spending the last few days, I've played a little bit of Destiny 1 again.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And just going back to that, like, the shooting is great. The actual, you played Destiny 1, right?
I played a lot of Destiny 1, yeah.
Yeah, the shooting
love
is...
Love it when a sequel's come out and then you're forced to refer to the original as Destiny 1.
Destiny, A New Hope.
And, well, that was Destiny 4. This is Destiny the Phantom Menace.
Yep.
And it is still like the actual shooting is great, but that's all that you can really say about Destiny 1 because it's all that was really in there.
Yeah, sure.
Like, I tried to look up the Grimoire card stuff. Do you remember how that was all the where they hid? Destiny 1 didn't have any story to it, basically. Right. There were little tiny cutscenes and stuff, but it was kind of indecipherable because you had no context, really, for any of this stuff that was going on. And all the characters were referred, like, every place was called the something of something. Yes. The Vault of Glass, the Sea of Storms, all of that.
Yep.
And it was just really tough to follow. And so they had this system for expanding on the story where you would get these grimoire cards. They were called after you killed a certain number of people or whatever. And you had to go to the Bungie website to read them, which was fucking annoying and weird.
Yeah, that sounds stupid.
Yeah.
And so I never bothered to do it because it was stupid. I this week just went like, oh, go have a look at that. They've taken it down.
Fucking
it's no longer there. Destiny 2's out, so.
Oh, God.
All that shit. You can still read it on like other websites that have it. But
sure. I also never read any of it. Well, and like Peter Dinklage initially played like your companion AI bot thing. And he told you some stuff, but they eventually recast him and changed a lot of that because it was also poorly done.
Well, it was poorly done, and also Peter Dinklage was too expensive to get back in to do these little expansions.
Right.
So, yeah, the first two expansions, your ghost, it's called, that your little robot thing, just very suspiciously doesn't talk when it was still Peter Dinklage.
Right.
Like, I'm another character, but I've got some information that you might find useful.
Yeah.
Right.
And so, yeah, they
recast
that.
It's interesting because I was surprised that people were excited for 2 coming out because I got the impression that people never really liked number 1, apart from our obsessive correspondent Ben Russell.
So people were disappointed by the launch, but a lot of people still played it and a lot of people grew to love it, and a lot of people got on board when it was good. So
the negative feelings about Destiny 1, I think, were more about wasted potential.
Yes,
okay,
because the very core of it was so good that the trappings around it were doubly disappointing because they just weren't up to the scratch of the games.
And also, this is a developer with a huge kind of legacy. Yeah.
And it was a huge launch. Like, I remember that. Yeah. I remember basically getting, I guess, my PS3, 4... Which one would it have been? 3?
When?
When it launched. When Destiny launched.
4.
Yeah, right.
It was in 2014.
Yeah, so I basically got my PS4.
It was like the first big title for the PS4,
yeah,
right?
Definitely.
Yeah. So it was. I basically got my PS4 and only had Destiny and played it a lot.
Yeah, it was a big push early game. And it was the first thing I remember really looking next generation in stuff.
Yeah, yes. Yep,
because there was a lot. It was that weird thing where the overlap between those two generations was weird. So anyway, Destiny 2, like, their plan originally was Destiny is like a platform and it's 10 years long and we're going to be updating this game for 10 years. Anyway, they realized what they built couldn't do that, and everyone kind of thought it sucked in a lot of ways. So they went, okay, fuck.
Clean break. Let's just do a new one.
Okay, Destiny 2, baby.
Yeah. Right.
And so that's this. It launched today. It is more Destiny.
Right.
For absolute sure.
Yep.
It feels exactly the same, which is a good thing because that was the best thing about Destiny.
Exactly. The feel was the best thing.
So long as you were into that first one, more of that is a good thing. They're trying to. So my experience with it, just with the pretty short amount of time I've played of it so far, hasn't all been positive because it's online only. It's online all the time.
Yep. Right.
And that. This is a thing that happens on launch days with every online thing, it seems like. A lot of getting kicked off of the server.
A lot
of weird like bugs. Stuff that I never saw in Destiny 1 and I'm assuming will be fixed, of like enemies jumping around. Sort of zipping.
Synchronization problems.
Fuck, it must be brutal in the office of one of these places when you've got something like this that comes out where there's just all these spot fires that you've got to be putting out for... The first, like, whatever, 2 weeks.
It must be awful because, like, you get up to it and you're like, finally, it's launching. Wait, this is the hardest part.
Yeah.
But so, and that, but other than that, so ignoring all that stuff because I'm sure that's going to go away. And if it doesn't, you'll hear about it. It seems cool. They're definitely focusing on trying to present you with a story to care about more than the first one did.
Right.
Yeah, I watched the trailer and it gave the impression of being pretty story.
Yeah.
Focused, like there being a bit of drive to it.
Which feels really weird because it's sort of like trying to act as though it's leaping off of Destiny 1. So they're like, hey, Cade is back. Remember Cade? And my reaction was, absolutely no, I don't.
But then probably Ben Russell does.
Maybe, but I feel like they just never really did the shit they needed to make any of that. Like every single character, in quotes, was giving you bullshit information you didn't understand about this world.
Or loot.
Which, by all accounts, is well written if you are willing to fucking wade through the shit that you need to wade through to get to it. Anyway, it it's weird because it seems like pretty standard sort of shooter, like mid-range kind of shooter story of just like, man, here's this enemy, we gotta go get him, strap in, and then the helicopter person does a helicopter thing in a cutscene,
right?
And you know, it's all kind of pretty unengaging.
The thing where they swing their dick around.
Yes. It's a weird cutscene that comes out of nowhere, and yeah, it's really an odd tone that this game's going for.
See, I wouldn't be able to explain that to my dad, that if this was on the Wii and you just did it with the remote.
Now, how is that helicopter person controlling that dick? How do they do it?
It's all about hip movement, baby.
Is that called a wand?
So they, yeah, it like it just doesn't seem particularly engaging so far, the story, honestly. Right. It's like,
which is exactly what the first one was. Like, it looked beautiful and it was fun to shoot stuff, and the story was both like underwritten and unengaging of what there was.
And then now this one's not engaging but in your face as well.
Oh!
You know, like that's my experience with it so far. It might get better as it goes on. This is very much early impressions. So you're like, the city that you're in from the first one gets destroyed because some of the Cabal show up, who were the big fat ones from the first one. And then like, Space Bane kicks you off of a building or a spaceship and you fall.
One of the two.
You get hurt. And he's just like a big bald guy with a mask.
Right.
And he's like, I'm going to take this city over.
Nice. Right. Good Bane.
Thank you very much. It's the only impression I can do. It's a good thing he's still so relevant in popular culture today.
Well, he's in Destiny 2, so that's
And then he kicks you off this thing. And it's that weird thing of, do you remember in Halo 2? Did you ever play Halo 2, either of you?
No.
Okay, so that had a weird thing of this sort of, this alien race from the first one who were just like, in the first game, all they said was like, bort, and all this stuff. They were just cannon fodder or whatever. In the second one, they gave them this whole religious backstory and tried and made one of them a character, and it kind of worked, but it was always weird seeing those guys talk.
Yeah,
this has that, where now you're following this story of this alien race as well, but they were designed from the point of view of being just an imposing enemy.
Yeah,
so it's this weird like crab face dude going, well, the ancient laws,
you know, like,
it's really hard to take that thing seriously.
Yeah.
Like if they tried to make the fucking Hamburglar have a character, you know,
sounds cool.
Yeah.
But anyway, so it just, and it's also that thing of like going through these story sections that seem to be really jammed into this engine that isn't built for them.
Right.
So it's built to just move around and shoot.
Yeah.
And then you get these kind of story sequence things where it just kind of has to fade out and load weirdly and go into a cutscene. It just is a little strange.
Yep.
And it still has like the long loading times of the first one. Anyway, the shooting itself is cool, and this is very early on. So the meat of Destiny is, as with any game, in the middle and the end, especially like the end stuff. It's all about that kind of thing. So I'm going to play a lot more of it, and we'll talk about it more next week once we've all had a shot. All
right.
Are you going to go in, Tommy?
I do not think I will.
Yeah, right.
It doesn't seem like your kind of thing.
It doesn't appeal to me, and it's been the last couple of months, like high volume of stuff that I've been into, so I'm more than happy to take a break for a bit and sit this one out.
Yeah.
I ordered today off a website. I ordered Persona 5 and Nier Automata.
Oh, sick.
So, yeah, I'm going to wait for them to turn up. And
man,
then
that's
be
heaps of fucking time.
Yeah, that'll take you through to, like, March.
I am nearly up to 70 hours of Persona 5.
Jesus.
And it takes about 100 to finish.
Right.
You kind of can't make it shorter than that. I've been back on my bullshit with Persona 5 this last week as well. That game's great.
Oh, it's so good.
I'm looking forward to it, but again, like everything I go into on the PS4, there's a little part of me that goes, fuck, I wish I could have this on the Switch. I love Breath of the Wild. I was thinking the other day, how much time would I have sunk into this if it weren't for being able to play it everywhere I've gone?
Yeah.
Persona
5 is the kind of game where, even though I don't like playing handheld consoles, if I could take that with me everywhere, I would.
I
would never stop playing.
It's designed in such like a, or it could be played in such a bite-sized way as well.
Yeah.
Where like, it's, but it's also so easy to just fucking realize, oh shit, that's 5 hours gone.
Yep, totally.
I'm excited to get into because, like, the way that people describe it and go, oh, it's great, you do this, and then they proceed to describe things that sound absolutely no good. So I'm interested to see how that kind of stacks up.
Yeah. I'm interested to see what you will think about that as well. That's been me. What have you guys been bloody doing?
You've just been playing more Mario Plus Rabbids, right?
Mario Plus Rabbids Kingdom Battle, please, to give it its full terrible title.
I am not sorry.
It's
Lord Shittington the Third. Thank you very much.
I'm up to the final world. Yeah, just still loving that. The surprise of the year for me.
Yeah.
A lot of fun. All the way it progresses and the new enemies that come at you and the new little kind of layouts of the courses and stuff. Nothing more to say on it apart from what we said last week. But I'm up to the last world.
Yeah.
So I think I should have it done within the next week.
Fuck yeah.
But yeah. Great game.
I've been playing more Nier Automata. It's opened up a little bit. The very first stages that I was playing that I was kind of telling you guys about was, like, I guess designed to be, like, maximum impact, all these different things at once.
Maximum impact!
Yeah, really in your face. Yeah. But I've kind of gotten to a bit where it's opened up. It's more of, like, an open world RPG kind of thing now.
Right.
Very much more like, oh, talk to this guy, he'll give you a mission, and you go and do the thing and bring it back to him.
Right.
It's still a really interesting world and a really good story, and it's still very intriguing. Like I said, like, last week, it doesn't lay everything out, but what it does lay out, it kind of makes you want to find out more. So I'm still really liking it. I've still only played a little bit, and that is because I've become re-addicted to No Man's Sky.
Right.
So, no! We thought we'd helped you.
I've relapsed, boys. So it turns out that my kind of impressions of the update that I gave a couple of weeks ago now were kind of wrong.
Delete that episode.
Or at the very least... And I think I kind of said this at the time, was superficial. Like, I really did only play the first hour or two again before saying that stuff. It has kind of a lot of the stuff that I wanted and that I think people wanted. So now it has mission boards where you go to get a mission and you go find a planet and you get to kill a certain thing and bring it back and you get some more money. Or you go and, you know, scan these minerals and bring it back and get some money. Look, so it has the very basic low-level RPG mission system, which it didn't have before.
Right.
But it also has the purpose-built, purpose-written story that I thought it didn't have at all. And it actually does. It has this other thing where you're trying to track down this traveler. They're sending you transmissions. You got to, like, some of the things you have to do are, like, triangulate your position, and then they send you a new thing, and you stumble across these temples. And it is actually all purpose designed. It's all
right.
It's new characters. It's a whole new race that wasn't in the previous game, like the game previously.
Mm-hmm. So is that four now that there are? Four types of aliens? I remember there being three.
Yes, I think so. And it's more about who your character is a little bit and the purpose of the character
John
in the world
Spaceman.
Is. Yeah. So it has a story, and initially I was still a bit like, oh, but this story is just like making you do the exact same thing you were doing before. But I think it only feels that way because, like, each step of the story, each chapter, you do have to fly to a new galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just very much did feel like the old gameplay loop of, like, flying from galaxy to galaxy, refueling slowly. But I think it's just, like, I think I've just not played a game on this scale before, where literally each chapter is set in a new galaxy.
Yeah.
Super Mario Galaxy.
I didn't play it or like it.
How did you not like it if you didn't play it?
Okay, I played a bit of it and I didn't like it, so
that's
I didn't keep playing.
That's fucking insane. I didn't know that you didn't like Super Mario
Galaxy.
We talked about
that before. When we did the 10 games to play before you specifically die.
Yeah. If I forget something, it means I didn't know it.
Mm-hmm.
Effectively.
Triplets.
So New Zealand.
Triplets.
You, at the time, when you, like a few weeks ago or a couple of weeks ago when you were talking about the update, you said that if you didn't, it wasn't going to change anyone's mind.
Yeah.
Do you still feel that way?
No, I think I literally said, like, it's not Freelancer, it's still new No Man's Sky.
You did say that.
It's Freelancer, basically. Like, everything... So I think what I had noticed when I talked about it a couple of weeks ago was, like, it's polished, it feels more like a complete game in superficial ways.
Yeah.
But it doesn't
have... It's apples
have...
and oranges, but I did think that orange was an apple earlier.
Yeah, and I didn't know that it had a more driven story system and a more... robust, yeah, mission system, and it's all there. And I reckon if you were like, oh, I wish it was like Wing Commander or Freelancer, and you haven't played it since it came out, play it again. You'll probably like it,
right? Interesting.
And if none of that sounds interesting to you at all, of course, don't play it.
That's awesome that it's free as well.
Like, yeah,
yeah.
They kind of were put into a position where I guess they needed to do that.
Yeah,
sure.
In some ways, but yeah, that's. I actually might give that another go at some point when there aren't 500 other games around.
Yeah,
yeah, yep.
Yeah. Sweet.
So, what do we want to get onto now?
Well, we've had these building up over a few weeks. We have. Some hemorrhoids.
Nice.
Now, we've got a bunch of listener questions, listener comments,
yep.
Listener interactions. So we thought we'd get through some of them today.
Mm-hmm.
Firstly, I want to mention Fletch. So we got an email from a guy.
Great film.
Called Chevy Chase. No, we got an email from a guy called Fletch. I don't know if he wants me to say his full name or not, so I won't.
You don't even know if he wants you to say half of his name, and you still have done that.
That's true, but it's someone involved with Hyper and PC Power Play.
Yeah, maybe it's just easier to say that we heard from Hyper.
Yeah.
We heard from someone in the machine at Hyper.
Yes.
And they
Fletcher
were
G Hyper.
Their little dickies got very hard because we were talking about them recently.
Yes.
So he hopped on the email line and he had to let us know. Guys, I work at Hyper.
Yeah.
He started showing off with his big impressive job.
Yes.
And that was very cool to hear.
I was suitably impressed.
Yeah, you were very impressed.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we've talked about those magazines. We all grew up reading those magazines.
Yeah.
If you're not from Australia, it's a video games magazine.
Yeah. Well, it's two. PC Power Play was the one that I was really into as a teen, I believe I would have been.
I'll tell you what I felt really cool when I started doing when I was a teen.
Jacking off.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah, I felt cool. not shamed.
Hey.
Hey, I'm jerking here.
Whoa. Sit on it.
Adam.
I went and I started getting Electronic Gaming Monthly, United States-based of America-based games magazine. But because it was always like, you know, the news, they'd get it like 2 months after fact.
Yeah.
So you'd be reading horrifically out-of-date gaming news, but just the fact that it was like a big American magazine just still felt like, nah, this is the shit.
Back in the day where there was that divide between the PAL and the NTSC regions as well.
Yeah, and they would review stuff that just would never come out here, so it was cool to see pictures of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So anyway, if anyone from EGM listens and you want to hit us up. Oh, and also they used to do an April Fool's Day prank every year, which I thought was cool.
That's unique.
Yeah. For a gaming magazine.
I feel like everyone does an April Fool's Day prank, don't they?
I feel like at the time it was... but they would do like kind of... What was it? They had a big thing about some like hidden character in Street Fighter that you could only get to by completing this insane... Like you had to go through the whole thing without taking a single hit.
April Fool's definitely had more clout to it before the internet.
Totally.
As well.
And they would doctor up. They would doctor screen... They would sort of sneak a news item in and... because you're not reading everything and you're not seeing it on the internet. So it genuinely...
Plus here it's like July when you're reading this.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. That's doing a lot of the heavy lifting
They've
as well.
They've just lied to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, fuck, there's a nude code in Mario Kart. Fuck yeah.
Oh, that was kind of funny. This is like news. I forgot to say this. That, you know, how there was all the Final Fantasy 15 PC stuff.
Yes.
They talked about the nude mods, rah, rah, rah. And the guy said, they can do nude mods if they want. He like specifically brought it up. But then also said, if they go too far, that may affect the future of us letting mods happen with Final Fantasy games.
Great. Oh. Great.
What is too far with a nude mod?
Yeah.
The butthole, I guess.
Like how, but surely nude is as far as you can go. Just that implies completely naked.
Yes.
Anyway, so I'm interested to see people definitely go too far.
It's very schoolyard kind of punishment, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, putting everyone's fate in the hands of the modders.
In the hands of some fucking perverts.
Mm. So anyway, thank
sound
you.
Exactly like that.
Lovely to hear from him. Thanks for getting in touch.
Yeah.
In the old Hyper magazine.
Yes. I was thrilled.
That's yeah, that's super cool. Yeah. That is something that if I could go back and tell 13-year-old me that, he'd say, guess what? I just fucked three triplets.
Oh, excellent. So we've also, yeah, we've got some questions. Someone asked what kind of recording equipment we use. Microphones and a mixer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the regular
stuff. My microphone
stuff.
Says... Oh, it's really hard to read what the microphone says while still talking into it. I'm going to memorize it.
It's
and then get
one
back.
Word. It probably just says one word on it.
It says like PV. PV. Okay, so it like PV is the name of the company. P-A-V-E-Y.
P in V, yes.
And then a P in a V. And then I-100.
Yeah.
Okay.
A sequel to iRobot.
Mine's a Shure PG-58.
Mine's the same as Knox's.
Yeah, and then we use like a mixing desk and just a Mac.
Yeah, GarageBand we use.
Mm. Yeah.
Joel also asked, of all the... actually, he made an outrageous claim. Of all the arcade-style rail shooters games, Time Crisis is without question the best. Thoughts?
I don't know that I've played enough of them to comment very accurately, but I will say I remember having a great deal of fun every time I've played it.
Yeah. Time Crisis is great.
My personal favorite is Point Blank,
yeah.
Which was a PS1 era game that was also an arcade game.
But that's not on rails. That's like arcade. That's like little mini games and shit, isn't it?
That's true. It's not on rails.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He means like you're taking cover, shooting the gun at the screen, then you're pushing it.
Yes.
House of the Dead would probably be
Virtua Cop.
Yeah,
right.
Was one of them.
Yeah. I feel like House of the Dead would be its main competitor,
right.
Time Crisis, but
right.
It's very different stylistically.
Yeah, yeah.
Remember, the era of having a fucking gun plugged into the PS
yeah.
and pointed at the TV. Fucking hell!
Yeah.
How high tech did it seem?
They don't really make them anymore, do
yeah,
they?
I don't think they work with TVs.
But strange that
yeah,
you've got the Joy-Con and you've got the Wii Remote. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, and the even just having the yeah, you can point stuff at the screen
that's
with the
true.
PlayStation
yeah.
controller.
Yeah.
It's easier than it's ever. You don't need a new peripheral.
Yeah.
And no one, even for just like nostalgia value, has... It's weird that even just an indie developer hasn't gone. Here.
There is a House of the Dead 4 that was relatively recent.
Okay.
Also, Until Dawn, the yeah. VR version was an on-rails shooter.
A lot of VR oh, yeah. games are doing that
yeah,
sort of stuff.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I would love to see that, like, someone come back and, like, in the way that, you know, the there's, you know, the riffing on like the 8-bit and 16-bit. Someone
yeah, yeah.
doing a that era style on rails shooter, you're like the hardened cop, like yeah. hiding yeah. from the horrifically kind of over the top bad guys.
Yeah.
That would be real cool.
Yeah.
That would be sick. There was a the Lost World Jurassic Park on rail, like on game that was mm-hmm. fucking awesome.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
It and an arcade?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
It was
yeah.
really good.
Did you... They had that one at the Jam Factory, I believe.
Right. I played it in England.
Okay.
At Buckingham Palace.
Wow. Oh.
I had to kick out this real fancily dressed lady to play it.
Yeah.
And she was like, how dare you?
But
it's the queen.
I don't think... I think his outrageous claim holds a lot of weight. I remember because a few
Wait,
of them...
you don't?
Hmm?
You don't
no,
think
I do.
Time Crisis was fucking good, though.
Yeah, and I remember any time a new one came out, it was like a big event.
Yeah.
Right.
And they started... Because they were all
that
arcades.
That whole pedal thing was great
yeah.
as well.
Yeah.
The mechanic of hiding behind cover and jumping out yourself was
They were
really
all
cool.
arcades, and then they would eventually come out on the PlayStation, right? They were arcades
a lot of them,
first.
A lot of them came out on, well, either the PlayStation or the Saturn or the Dreamcast.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, but they were arcades first.
Yeah,
and then they'll port them over.
Yeah.
Cool. Great.
Not so outrageous then. Just a good good opinion.
Just a good statement.
just a
smart young man.
I like Time Crisis.
Okay, so this we got an email from Lars in Norway. Which is too long and too confusing to read.
Yes.
In full.
Yeah.
To be fair, Lars is Norwegian.
Yes.
And has written to us in English.
Yes.
For that, he must be commended.
Yeah.
But
as is international law.
Are we going?
Yes.
Are we going to go? Does he ask us anything or?
No, I just wanted to call him out for not having good English.
Yeah.
It's pretty good here.
We don't really need to go into it. I think. We can just say that he refers to Ben as a stallion at one point.
Yeah, that's
and that'll kind of do it. That'll give you enough of an overview of what he's trying to what he's doing.
Good to get that into canon.
Yeah.
he does mention specifically. He puts to me the fact that Assassin's Creed 3 came out and was basically the first game in the series that was actually kind of different for a long time. Assassin's Creed, the first one, was medieval stuff.
And then
it was like the Middle East in the, like 1100s.
Crusades era, maybe?
It was like even before that, I think.
Right. And then it was, yeah, Italian Renaissance era for like three games in a row. Mm. And then Assassin's Creed 3 came out and it was the Revolutionary War, I think, in America.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And you played a like half Native American guy and it was significantly different. Mm-hmm. And I hated it. Because the gameplay was shit.
Yeah.
It put you in a bunch of forests instead of in a big city where you could climb all the buildings.
Yeah.
I feel like that was really the only major change with it from memory is that it was the setting predominantly was the different thing, but the actual mechanics of how it played as an Assassin's Creed game were pretty similar.
Similar but worse, in yeah. my opinion.
Right, yeah.
Which is why I really didn't like it.
And so what's Lars getting at?
He's just saying that I'm an idiot because I don't agree with that that statement that
Lars,
Assassin's Creed 3 was good and different.
You're correct.
yeah, so good to get that on the record.
Yep. The young stallion, Ben, I think he refers to you as.
He certainly does. Which I'm also so not the youngest person of
no,
this podcast.
Not
no,
at all.
But if you had to pick out of a lineup, I'm not winning.
I guess.
At youngest.
Yeah, good point.
I guess that's
yeah.
true.
All right, Mr. Ed, what else you got for us?
So Ross from Manchester says...
How's he moving his mouth like that?
You put peanut butter in, on my gums before.
That does actually work. If you go up and put peanut butter in a stranger's mouth, they will move their mouth.
Yes. Mm. So yeah, Ross from Manchester. Would you like to do a Mancunian accent, Knox?
I would like to, but I don't know if I can, but let's give it a go. Hold on. Liam Gallagher, you're fucking Liam Gallagher. Hold on, fucking... He's fucking shite. He thinks Oasis aren't the best band to ever fucking live. All right, I've got it. It's not good. For a bit of fun, he's from Manchester.
Yeah, yeah.
If all three of you had total creativity over a game, what would you do?
Is this still Liam Gallagher?
Yeah, that's what he sounds like these days. His solo work, not as engaging as with Oasis. He's coming here soon to Australia.
Yeah.
Liam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Falls Festival.
Let's get him.
Let's get him in here. Did you play games? No. All right. So
we had total creativity over the creation of a game, I think he means.
Right, so just what game would you make?
Yeah.
Right. I don't know. I would love to work on something as an artist, like not so much the mechanics and everything, but what I would love is like a new puzzle game, where puzzle games often have like some kind of, you know, the blocks look a certain weird way, or there's like, you know, the like there's stuff going on the side of the field.
Yeah,
you know
right.
what I mean? So
yep. you wanna
I get
squares.
Yeah, I get brought in to do that stuff. I would love to do something like that.
Yeah,
I'd love
right.
to be involved in the making of a cool puzzle game.
Right.
That yeah,
right.
had my style in it.
If I had total creativity, I would make a cool puzzle game and not involve you. I would get in a
Fair.
Different artist.
Who would you get instead?
Somebody draws triangles.
Okay.
I reckon.
Oh, right.
That's going to be
okay.
my type of puzzle. Tetronomos. No, wait. That's
Tetris.
Yes. Tetris.
What do you call a triangle?
Tangrams.
Tangrams.
Yeah. Polygons.
Sick. And they'd all look like they were at the beach getting tans.
Okay.
And it would be called Tangrams, and they have to Instagram themselves afterwards.
Is nice. This a game or just the best new social media craze?
This is all copyrighted by virtue of being here. If we played this in front of a judge, A, hello, and I hope you make this case go my way. And B, it will go my way.
Okay. Are you going to go my way?
Yes.
Is my question.
You make Lenny Kravitz Simulator.
Yes. Oh.
It's like it's very busy and there's a lot to do in the first section of the game,
mm-hmm.
and it sort of tapers off.
Yeah, yeah. But at the end, big old dick.
Yeah, that yeah, big old true. Dick popping out of those leather pants.
You know what I'd do? I'd make No Man's Sky, but at the center of the universe, it would be Lenny Kravitz's dick.
Lenny Kravitz's huge cock.
Everything yeah. just revolving around the gravity that it
yes.
causes.
And so as you're getting closer towards it, you just hear faintly...
And you go, I want to get away, because it's a big old dick.
I want to fly away in my spaceship.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, baby.
Oh. Honestly, I've always wanted to make a game like No Man's Sky, but I guess if I had total creative control, I'd write a really interesting and engaging story and fill
well,
it with...
Well, it's you doing it, so it wouldn't be interesting.
Oh!
Ah!
Snappy-do!
And then Bren Grinnell... was the coolest man in the whole galaxy.
I'd make a dating simulator that only I could win. But also, I couldn't lose.
Fucking hell.
Not
That's
only
great.
Do you have to win the dating, everyone else has to lose.
Yeah.
That's great. I'm the only one in the world having sex. That's great.
Make another Alien versus Predator game, but the tagline is, whoever wins, I must win or else I lose.
Whoever wins, I'm definitely getting the
suck. Yeah, cool. No, Psychopath Simulator sounds fun.
You've got to
do your morning routine the same every day.
Just, like, I think it's an interesting question. Like, you know, getting, like, what's a franchise you would like to be given the keys to? Like, yeah. I would love to see this made, and if me being a part of it is the only way that happens. Like a Wario platformer.
Yeah,
like
right.
A 3D Wario platformer is something I would love to see.
Yep.
And would love to be involved in, like, the... Like, those guys that made Sonic Mania, I can't, like, fathom how fucking blown away they must have been to just be handed all the assets and told, go for your life.
Yeah.
Like, this thing that they grew up as huge fans of would
be
have
like
been incredible.
Ryan Johnson or something making Star Wars, just like this crazy...
Yeah.
Hopefully
you don't end up like Colin Trevorrow.
Oh, is that how you say it?
Yeah.
I've always thought Trevorrow in my head.
Oh, well, email us.
And Colin, you've got nothing
going
on.
And write in how you say
Yeah, great
Trevorrow.
To ask for pronunciation over text.
Yeah. That's a good question. Yeah, Knox, like if you were going to take control of a franchise.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, that's interesting. I think
or
I
just
like
something that you want to see involving certain characters that just doesn't exist in its like if you love it. Like for me, I can't see why they haven't done a Wario game.
Yeah.
The real reason probably is when they've done them in the past, they've just noticed declining sales.
Totally.
But from a creative point of view, you go, "Fuck, that'd be so good."
Yeah,
I would like to maybe be in charge of Halo 6 so that I could fix the story of it. From my point of view.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, not that I would fix the story, but at least to me it'd be better.
Yeah, sure.
And then everyone, the Master Chief is Adam, and everyone thinks he's cool.
And he can't lose the dating sim. I guess I'd probably want to, like, make Knights of the Old Republic 3.
Right.
You know, something like that. Right. Continue a franchise that I loved.
Yeah, bring something back from the dead.
Yeah.
Hmm. Or maybe I'd just like make a new Call of Duty and make heaps of money.
Yeah.
And also maybe fix that up.
And maybe that's, make it good. Yeah. That's kind of the point. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I guess so.
Thanks for the question, Ross, from Manchester.
Yeah.
I'd probably just make a gambling fucking bullshit game on mobile and
You'd make Candy Crush 3 and make
a lot of in-game
purchases.
God, I love how cynical you got. Like, just how quickly you just went. No. All your passion and drive just went out the window and now you're just wanting to cash in.
Yeah. From I'll save Call of Duty to I hate everyone and I think they're stupid.
I want to make $1 million. Oh, fucking idiots.
Yeah.
I'm going to make a game that's secretly a surveillance for Russia.
Well, I think that was
Pokemon
it.
Pokemon Go, fuck yourself more like.
Was that it? For questions?
Yeah, that was Ross's question. There's a couple more here.
There's a couple more. Someone wants to know. There's a couple of parts to this. One is like, who is it? Who's sent it in?
I think this is anonymous.
Okay, they asked basically, have we Tommy and I played Hearthstone, and if we have, what did we think of it? And I think he's assumed or she has assumed that we haven't ever played it before.
Mm-hmm.
I have played it.
Okay.
I played it a bunch.
Well, correct in my corner.
Yeah, and kind of from the perspective that it's this weird, complicated card game, and are there too many barriers to entry for you to even want to give it a shot?
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah, okay.
But then, like, didn't you were saying the other week that you played Magic the Gathering? Was that you, Knox?
I played Magic the Gathering,
when I was a kid.
It's like
the
same of course it was.
Thing.
We host a video game podcast. It was every single one of us.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But I
feel like Hearthstone did a good job of slowly introducing its mechanics to you with its single player bit.
I guess I played Pokemon, but I never played Magic. And yeah, I picked up Hearthstone on iPad a few years ago because it was a perfect iPad game.
Mm. And any card game is basically the same as any other game where it's a series of systems that you learn slowly.
Yeah. And I liked it. I didn't love it. I didn't get addicted to it.
Yep.
But it's interesting how many of these sort of games are, because there's that Gwent one that's the Witcher thing.
Yeah.
Valve are making that Dota one now.
Yes, yeah.
So I wonder if these things will come back.
Oh, and before we move off this, one of our listeners pointed this out to us, and I'm sure they'll be extremely frustrated if I don't bring it up. There is an online Magic the Gathering version.
Yeah.
It's more the
which
idea
we kind of said didn't exist. Yeah. we were like, why haven't they done it, the bloody idiots?
I love getting feedback because I've been on the side of that where you're listening to something and you just so badly want to go back in time and go, you fucking idiots.
Yeah. It doesn't exist in the same manner that something like Hearthstone
right,
does.
Right, there's no app, there's no Steam version, there's no...
And I don't feel like you buy packs of cards on it or anything like that. It's literally, it's like online chess closer to, I believe.
Okay.
Where you...
Well, you'd better hope you're right. Yeah, this person, they are steam coming out of their ears right now if you're wrong.
At some point, I looked this up during my life. It may have been in 2002.
Right.
I don't remember. But there are definitely things where you can play it competitively against people.
Right.
But it doesn't have the same sense of building up your cards and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Like something like Hearthstone.
So they go on to talk about like games like Overwatch, even Battlefield 1, PUBG. Like there does seem to be a pretty big barrier of entry to multiplayer games these days.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know what the solution there is as well. Because and it's worse if you miss out on the first couple of months of it.
Right.
You never feel like you can get
it. Man, even something like Splatoon, like the online came on like I think right before I went to America. So I had a couple days of playing it and it was like new and a lot of people were clearly like just discovering it. So I was like, oh, this is real fun.
Yeah.
And then didn't really have good enough online access to play it for the 2 weeks I was away.
Yeah.
Came back and got on and went, oh my fucking God. Like people are just smoking me. Like,
if you don't
commit to going in day one and growing with everyone.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of games do make an effort to kind of, you know, put you alongside people of a comparable skill level, but there's only so much they can do. Like it just becomes so prohibitive.
Yeah, I almost feel like I've missed too many Battlefield and Call of Duty games in the franchises to be able to jump back in.
Totally.
Like,
yeah.
I just feel like I've been too shit.
And then there's the barrier
now
of like if those aren't the sorts of games you normally play, so you're kind of familiarizing yourself with the mechanics from scratch as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there is a genuine barrier. But it's also like the most popular kind of gaming. Yeah. Totally. So there are lots of people doing it.
But that's fine. I don't care that there's a barrier because it's just not the games that I like playing. Yeah, so it doesn't, you know, it's fine.
There's
like
a barrier to tennis. And, you know, and if tennis isn't for
it's
you.
It's called a net. It's an integral.
She will not let me into that court. Annette is furious every time I try to get in there.
Knew he was going to do that. Knew it.
It's like a back and forth, like bloody tennis.
Oh, I love that.
I 30 to love that. We could let's do more tennis puns. I'm loving this. I can't think of another Djokovic. Let's go. Keep going. I'm fed up with this.
I just want to hear you keep going.
Yeah, yeah. I tapped out a long time ago.
Yeah,
to be
I'm Anna Kournikova, to be honest.
I don't know. I feel like I'm causing a racket. This is no good.
Fucking, I hate Nadal of this. Nada.
You've been caught out not understanding how to pronounce Nadal. Anyway, let's finish the podcast.
Yeah, let's do.
They're making me angry somehow.
Yeah.
These tennis puns.
There's one question that we do not have time for. I just want to say to James, we've got your question about linearity versus freedom in games.
That's a long talk.
It's a that's like our episode.
Yeah,
so
that's up the sleeve for a quiet week.
Yes,
mm.
But it's there and we will do it someday.
Well, I guess we should wrap this up for another week. So thank you if you're subscribing on Patreon. If not, and you want to get in and get all the sweet rewards, you can find all the links, filthycasuals.com.au. We also have our bonus episodes, premium episodes, sorry, on Bandcamp, where we've done like a kind of a franchise for each one. They're longer episodes. You can pay what you want for them.
Yep. People have also asked, like they're not wrapped into the Patreon now necessarily. If you just want to pay a dollar for the history of console launches, you can.
Yeah. Yeah.
They'll always be separate.
Yeah, yeah.
They're a bonus for one of the tiers of Patreon, but they're separate to it.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So, guys, thanks heaps for listening. And as we say at the end here of every episode of Filthy Casuals...
Game, set, match, beep.
You could have just said game, set, match.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates. I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.